The Word of God with you this morning. I invite you to join me in Colossians chapter 3. How often have you thought that it would be nice to possibly be able to distill the Christian life down into one simple but profound principle for life? A principle so simple and yet so incredibly profound that it would be a guiding light and a governance for every circumstance and situation of your life. To be able to boil down all of the commands to get at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Well, the text that we're going to be looking at this morning gets at the heart of the very essence of what it means to live a Christian life. This text gives us a comprehensive and yet extremely simple principle for living the Christian life that is so concise and so powerful that if you lived by this one text of Scripture, you would never go wrong. That you would have a pattern and a truth to guide you in every circumstance of life that you could ever come across. It's a general principle, indeed, that gives us the responsibility to work it out in our daily lives. But it is a principle designed to sum up the essence of what it means to live the Christian life. With that in mind, I want you to look with me at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 as we conclude one of these great paragraphs that the Apostle Paul has been writing about in his letter to the church at Colossae. And in verse 17, this is what he says. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This profound yet simple principle of living the Christian life becomes like a carpenter's level that can be used on any surface, at any time, any place, to check for spiritual level in our life. This is like the North Star to the ancient sailors. It's the compass to guide them through the dark of night, that whenever they wanted to know where they were, they could always consult the North Star and find their bearing. No matter which direction we are going in life, we can always look at this text of Scripture and find guidance and counsel for how we're to live in any situation that comes our way. Doing all in the name of Jesus our Lord is the heart and soul of what it means to be a Christian. And it's only possible when the peace of Christ is ruling in our hearts and the Word of Christ is richly dwelling within us, verse 15 and 16. And now as a climax, as the great capstone to finish up the arch of the Christian life, now the Apostle Paul calls us to the very essence of what it means to be a Christian when he says, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The essence of this text can be found in other verses as well, equally simple and equally profound. For example, we'll run across it again in verse 23 when Paul is speaking to the slaves. And he says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. In a very real sense, that is the same principle being lived out with a little bit different perspective, but it's the same basic truth. We see it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, when Paul says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And again, it's the same essence, the same principle. It embodies the same truth. When Paul says, let it be our ambition, whether we're at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. He's giving us the very same truth so that you can sum up what it means to be a Christian that applies to every situation in your life when He says in verse 17, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's it. You live by that text of Scripture and you will never go wrong. Because this is designed to be so broad and so concise and yet so in depth that it can cover any type of circumstance that you face in life. So what I want us to do is to look at this text. I want us to begin by looking at the extent of the command, exactly what Paul has in mind, and then look at what does it mean to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then why we need to do this and make this verse one of the living principles of our day-to-day life. Well, let's begin by looking at the extent of the command. Notice in verse 17 what Paul says. Whatever you do, whatever, it encompasses everything. It's inexhaustive. It's whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, this text is designed to cover everything in your life. It is inexhaustible. If you live by this text of Scripture, it will govern you no matter what you do in every circumstance of life. Nothing is left out. It's totally all-comprehensive in its scope and extent. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, he breaks that down a bit when he says, whatever you do in word or deed. And the words here, of course, mean that basically, whatever comes out of your mouth in intelligible speech, realizing that sometimes things come out that are not intelligible, but whatever comes out of your mouth in intelligible speech comes under the dictate of this principle. So that our deliberate words are covered. Careless words are covered. Words we think about before we say them and those that we don't think about. Words that we speak to our spouses. Words we speak to our kids. Words we speak to our parents, our friends, our brothers and our sisters. All of these are covered under the expanse of this command. Whatever you do in word, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Make every word a deliberate reflection of the name of Christ. In effect, that's what Paul is saying. So our words are covered, also our deeds. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our deeds. Well, what does that include? Well, what does it not include? It can include preaching and teaching and eating, exercising. We're to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Driving a car. Do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cleaning your house. Shopping. Visiting. Working. Playing sports. Doing school. Doing homework. Recreational activities. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every human activity is covered by this command, this great, simple, yet profound principle of life. But even Paul goes deeper, because when he speaks of our words and he speaks of our deeds, it just naturally also encompasses our mind and our will, because our mind and our will is involved in choosing the words that we speak and the deeds of our actions. So that even our mind and our will ultimately is brought under the authority of this guiding principle of Christian living. The entire inner man actually is covered. So that this text of Scripture requires that we lift up our thoughts and our minds to Christ before we do anything. It requires having the very mind of Jesus Christ, that we're to do everything, every word that comes out of our mouth, every action that we do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is all total comprehensive. It covers everything in the life. Live by this text of Scripture and you will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple, but it's yet so deep and profound. Now, what exactly does he mean when he says that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? What does that mean? How do we understand that? We do know that Christ teaches us a similar principle when it comes to prayer, that we're to pray in Jesus' name, right? Jesus said in John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So we know we're supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. But here Paul says you're supposed to speak and do everything in the name of Jesus. So what does that mean? Well, it means more than what we normally do when we pray, and at the end of our prayers we just tack on to the end of it, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's far more comprehensive than that, because the name indicates the character. We see this throughout the Bible. People's names reflect their character. Abram's name was changed to Abraham because Abraham now is to reflect his character. Isaac and many other names were designed to reflect the character. And of course, this is true with Christ. The name represents the entire person and work of Jesus Christ. So if we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're basically doing it for Christ. For Christ. It's supposed to reflect Christ. Because the name reflects the essence of who He is. The name sums up His life, His ministry, His purpose. And the name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. And we're to do all that we do in the name of the Lord, who is the Lord, who is our salvation. The Lord Jesus. We're to do everything in that name. That's to be the banner under which we live, the banner under which we work, the banner under which we do everything in the life as of a Christian. We're to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to break that down, I think this encompasses basically four truths. That if we do everything in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus, that implies four things. The first thing this means is that everything we say or do, we're to do it according to the will of the Lord Jesus. If you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, you're going to do it according to the will of the Lord Jesus. Christ is our Lord, it says here. We're to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our authority. He is our King. And we are His subjects. And if we're to speak and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, then we must do it according to His will, according to His commandments. We do and say according to what we believe Jesus would want us to do in light of His revealed will in Scripture. We're to desire to please Him, to obey Him. So when we do things in the name of the Lord Jesus, I must be mindful, is this something that Christ would be pleased with? Is this according to Christ's commandments? Is this according to Christ's will? And that must be first and foremost upon our mind. This certainly implies that we can appropriately look to Christ as our example. Christ told His own disciples to follow Me. They are to follow the Lord Jesus. He is to be their example in many ways. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, John says that the one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. So if we do it according to His will, part of what that entails is being obedient to His teachings, obedient to His commandments, but following His life as an example and as a pattern. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we should follow His example to suffer without complaining when we're suffering unjustly. Christ is our example. So we're to do it according to His will, according to the way He lived His life. Christ washed the disciples' feet as an example by which we're to be a servant to one another. So when we ask ourselves, what does it mean to do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus, the first thing it means is to do it according to His will and according to His lifestyle and His pattern. Now, of course, you know, we've all seen those bracelets, those WWJD bracelets, what would Jesus do? And that's bona fide. That's a valid thing to consider at times, as long as we understand that it doesn't apply in every situation. If you're standing at the side of a lake and want to get to the other side, it won't do you any good to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, He would walk on the water, and we can't walk on the water, so we have to take a boat. But in general, if we think in terms of the will of Christ, seen lived out in His life, it can give us some guidance in how we live our life. In other words, let the mind of Christ control our mind. Let us take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's the first thing that doing or saying in the name of the Lord Jesus means. We are to do it according to His will. A second thing that I think is implied, if we're to be living in the name of the Lord Jesus, is that we're to understand this in light of our calling. We are to be aware of the fact that as Christians, I am a representative of Christ on earth. So I'm to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, I'm to do everything realizing that I belong to Him, that He basically belongs to me, that I am to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, that I've been bought with a price, that I am Christ by the shedding of His blood. We are His body. We are His bride. We are His sheep. And all that I do in my life reflects upon Him because of this union that we have with Christ. See, we've been called into this union with the Lord Jesus. We've been called into His family. We've been called to be His ambassadors, to be His representatives. So if I'm supposed to say and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm representing the Lord Jesus. So the second thing that this means, to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus, I must understand that I'm to do it in the name of Christ, in Jesus' name. In other words, I'm representing Christ. So that all that I do, ultimately, and all that I say reflects upon Him. The way we do our work, how we respect others, how we seek to do others good, all reflects upon our profession of faith. And we must understand in light of this that people are watching us. And people are forming an opinion about Christ in light of what they hear me say and see me do. And if I'm to do everything and say everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, partly of what that means is I am representing Jesus Christ. This is my calling. That everything I do ultimately reflects upon Him. And of course, this means that I must walk by faith and walk by the Spirit because I'm to live out a life that basically embodies the life of Christ to other people. Whatever I do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all to reflect Him. Do all to represent Him because I am His body on earth. When people see His body and they see the way that the body speaks and the body acts, well, then they form an opinion about the head. And so we are here in light of our calling to live in the name of the Lord Jesus. The third thing that I think this expression, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, the third thing that this means, I think, is just independence upon His power. I can't do anything on my own. I'm supposed to do everything that I do in His name, in dependence upon His power and His grace. You see, the name of Christ is a name of power. The name of Jesus is a name of great strength. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, demons come screeching out of their victims. At the name of Jesus, diseases leave the body. And at the name of Jesus, even the dead are raised. There is power in that name. David went up against Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts because there's power in the name of Christ. The Lord Jesus told us that we should keep in mind this principle that we need His power and His strength, because in John 15, verse 5, He said simply that apart from me, you can do nothing. So everything that I do, I'm to do in the name of the Lord Jesus, because I realize that I have no power to do anything that honors the Lord. And I want His strength. I do it in His name. Lord, I'm doing it depending upon Your power and Your strength, not upon my own. Paul understood this when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we need to be praying for His power, so that all ministry and all service and all work and all love and all activity and all words to be done in a way that pleases the Lord must be done in the power of the Lord. And of course, you must know Christ personally to have access to this power. If you're here this morning and you have not personally come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, you will know nothing about what it means to do things in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will have none of that power, none of that grace. I'm reminded in Acts 19 about those Jewish exorcists, those seven sons of Sceva. And they were trying to cast out a demon, you remember. And they said to the demon that basically, I adjure you, they said, by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Adjure you, devil, by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Well, they said it that way because they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Christ. So they're making reference to Paul who did know Christ. And of course, the demon said to those seven sons, I recognize Jesus, I know about Paul, but who in the world are you? And so the man with the evil spirit leaped upon them and subdued them and overpowered them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded, because he tried to call upon the power of Jesus without knowing the name of Jesus. So if we're to live and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, we need to understand how powerless we are and how much we need the Lord's strength and power, because without it, we are nothing. The fourth thing that I think this phrase means, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, is we're to do all for His glory. We're to do all for His glory. If everything I say and everything I do is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, then I need to do it all for His glory. Someone once said, it may have been Piper, he said, living in His name means to spread His fame. Living in His name means to spread His fame. And that's what this ultimately encompasses. Our goal is for Christ to get the credit for all the good that comes from us. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the eternal Son of God, upon whose head belongs the eternal crown of glory. He is now exalted in heaven, preeminent over all things in heaven and on earth, so that we should live with this one great all-consuming goal, and that is to glorify Christ. That's what it means to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I am doing this for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. I'm doing this ultimately because I want to please Christ, not just please myself. So try this on by way of application. Before you say anything, think in your mind these words: for the honor and the glory of Christ, I say, and then say those words. Or, for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus, I'm going to do this thing, whatever I'm going to do. And to the extent that we can draw as close to that practically in our daily lives, the better we'll be able to live in light of this text. It's probably impossible, even the Puritans, believe it or not, acknowledge that it was impossible to do this for every thought and word, because we live on autopilot too often, too much of the time. But to the degree that we can live by this text and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus for His glory, for His honor, then the more blessed we will be. When the Spanish explorers were traversing the seas and the oceans and going out on their voyages of discovery, whenever they would touch upon new land, whether it was an insignificant little island or a great massive continent, at once, when they got upon the land, they would take their standard, their flag, their banner of Ferdinand and Isabella, the king and queen of Spain, and there they would stick it in the ground, and they would take possession of the soil in the name of their Catholic majesties, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. And that's exactly what the child of God should do when it comes to Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we should plant our flag in the soil and say, I do this for the glory of Christ. Not for my own praise, not for my own attention, not for my own blessedness. I do it for the glory of Christ. And how we need the Spirit of God to do that. The alternative would be to what? If we don't do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, what's the alternative? I'm going to do it in my name. I'm going to do it in my name. And if there is anything that would be an utter waste from an eternal perspective, is to go out and live my life for me. To live for me would produce a bankrupt life. It would be bankrupt of eternal value. It would be bankrupt in its ability to contribute anything to the kingdom of God. So that the goal is not to do whatever you do in your own name, for your own credit, for your own glory, for your own whatever, but to do it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon talked about George Whitefield, the great evangelist. He, along with John Wesley, evangelized America and England. But George Whitefield refused to form a new sect like John Wesley, basically after his name. And he said, George Whitefield said, "Let my name perish and let Christ's name last forever." And Wesley, on the other hand, was organizing the Methodists together, and he became the head of a great denomination of Christians. Whitefield had no desire to do that at all. He said, just let my name pass away, but let the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted. Martin Luther had a similar attitude, and even though the Lutheran church did develop from him, this is what Luther said about his own name. He said, quote, "I desire above all things that my name should be concealed, and that none be called by the name of Lutheran, but of Christian. What is Luther? My doctrine is not mine, but Christ. I was not crucified for any. How comes it to pass that I, who am but a filthy, stinking bag of worms..." You got to love Luther. He always talked with such graphic language. "What am I but a filthy, stinking bag of worms that any of the sons of God should be named after me? Away with these schismatical names. Let us be named after Christ, from whom alone we have our doctrine." And this is what Paul is saying. Do everything in the name of Christ. And I tell you what, isn't this difficult? Do you not struggle with it? Because we have such a natural tendency to self-centeredness and pride and to want to elevate our own name, so when somebody else gets the glory for something instead of us, when we rightly deserve it, we get offended and we get all ticked off because we have such a propensity to want to elevate ourselves. And Paul says, death to that. Don't do anything for your glory. Do everything for the glory of Jesus Christ. Christ is to be everything to us. He's the compass and the stars by which we navigate our lives. He's the wind that propels us forward. He's the rudder that turns us down the narrow way. He's the very boat in which we sail and live. He is everything to us. Therefore, do everything for Him, for His glory, for His honor. So those are the four things, I think, that's meant by do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it according to His will. Do it in light of our calling as His followers and representatives. Do it in dependence upon His power. And ultimately, do it all for His glory. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Well, because Christ is worthy of it. Well, we breathe His air. We eat His food. We enjoy our temporal blessings that He gives to us. We live and our hearts beat by His will and for His pleasure. Our brains are a gift from God, and we work with them and we earn money with them. But He has given to us our mental capacity. Our strength is given to us by Christ. All of our giftedness is on loan from Him. There is nothing that we have that we have not received. He is worthy of living for His name. We're not to be like Gomer, the wife of the prophet Hosea, who lived as a whore and left her husband and lived in adultery with numerous men. And yet Hosea kept providing for her and giving her food and giving her sustenance and giving money which her lovers would spend upon themselves. But he gave it to her and she never knew it because she was living for herself, not for him. Whenever we take all of the blessings and all of the gifts and all the good things of Christ and we live it for ourselves and not for the one who gave it to us, then we surely do not live up to our high calling in Christ. Christ is worthy to live for Him. Secondly, there's no greater name to dedicate one's life than to the Lord Jesus. Again, hear the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2. Therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and under the earth, on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Well, how can you compare the name of Alan with the name of Jesus? Jesus is the greatest name. How can you compare your name to the name of our blessed Lord? Jesus, as I said earlier, means the Lord is salvation. Jesus is the name that is greater than any other. So that Peter says in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is no more precious name than Jesus because there is no more precious person than Jesus. And because there's no greater name, we should dedicate our life to Him. Thirdly, why live in Jesus' name? Because it's the only name that matters to the Father. The Father is all about exalting and glorifying His Son. It's only in Christ that the Father is pleased. He is not pleased in you or in me other than in and through Jesus Christ. We are accepted before God only in Jesus' name. Christ is the very glory of heaven. And all that the Father is doing now is He's drawing the glory to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only name that matters to Him. And when we live in Jesus' name, then we're living a life that pleases the Father. Number four, it will be the measure ultimately of our present and future blessedness, whether or not we live in Jesus' name. To live for me rather than for Christ will produce nothing but wood, hay, and stubble for the day of judgment. For surely we will give an account for our deeds and our words, even as believers, on the day of judgment, the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. Paul says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done. Well, if those deeds in the body are done in Jesus' name, they will receive a reward. If they're done for any other reason, then they'll be burned up. This is not a judgment of condemnation, mind you. A condemnation, but a judgment of commendation. It will determine the level of our rewards in heaven. But But ultimately, why should we live in Jesus' name? Well, because our temporal blessings from God now are rooted in it, and also our future rewards and blessings in heaven are also determined by it. I remember reading a story by Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside was one of the preachers that was very involved in the Salvation Army. He was kind of a well-known Bible preacher, evangelist. And when he was a boy, he used to work for a shoemaker, a cobbler, by the name of Dan McKay. And Dan McKay was a very forthright Christian in his little cobbler shop. He had posters of Scripture all over the inside of his shop. They were mainly taken from the old-fashioned Scripture sheet almanacs. And he would have these things nailed up all over inside his shop. He would always put a gospel tract in every package of shoes that he had finished and returned back to the owner. And he always enjoyed sharing the gospel when the opportunity afforded itself. Well, when Harry Ironside worked for him as a small boy, his job, his chief responsibility was to take a flat hammer and to pound leather for shoe soles. And back in those days, they would take a piece of cowhide and they would cut it to the right size to fit the bottom of the shoe. And then they would soak it in water. And then he would take that soaking wet piece of cowhide, and he would take this hammer and he would start beating on it. And he would beat all the water out of it till it was dry and hard. And that made the best kind of shoe. And so he would spend hours pounding away on the soles of this shoe leather until it was hard and dry. Well, down the street, there was another cobbler that had a shop. This was a very ungodly man. And he would corrupt all the neighborhood kids. He'd draw them in and tell them lewd comments and things like this and corrupt them. But his business seemed to do well, even better than Mr. McKay's. And he seemed to prosper. And Harry Ironside sometimes would walk by his window on his way to work or home from work, and he'd see that he would take that sopping wet piece of shoe leather and he would never pound it. He would just nail it right onto the bottom of the shoe. And he kept wondering about that. So one day he got up his courage to go in and ask the man why he did that. And he said, "Sir, I notice you put the soles on while still wet. Are they just as good as if they were pounded?" And the man kind of gave him a sly and wicked look. And he responded to him and he said, "Well, young man, they come back all the quicker this way, my boy." So in other words, he was taking a shortcut. And because he would nail them on wet, they would wear out sooner. And the man would get more business quicker. Well, Harry Ironside was then confused at this point. He felt like maybe he had learned some great business principle. So he went back to Mr. McKay and he said, "Sir, I just noticed that the cobbler down the street doesn't waste time in drying out the leather so carefully and he doesn't pound it. He just nails it right on and he seems to be making a lot of money. And wouldn't this be a better way to do it?" And Mr. McKay turned to Harry Ironside and he never forgot this lesson. But he said, "Harry, I do not cobble shoes just for the 4 bits and the 6 bits, the 50 cents or 75 cents that I get from my customers, because I'm doing this for the glory of God. And I expect to see every shoe I have ever repaired in a big pile at the judgment seat of Christ. And I do not want the Lord to say to me on that day, 'Dan, this was a poor job. You did not do your best here.' But I want him to be able to say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" This is why, beloved, we need to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because whatever we do for any other reason, ultimately will be the wood and the hay and the stubble that will be consumed with fire at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. Well, in the end of the verse, the Apostle Paul concludes, "giving thanks through him to God the Father." Why give thanks? Well, thanksgiving is one of those things that's tacked on here to doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, because you really can't do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus unless you have a thankful heart. If you have a complaining heart and a grumbling heart and you're not satisfied and content with what God's will and providence is for your life, you won't do things in the name of the Lord Jesus because your mind and your heart is too bent out of, twisted out of shape. But thanksgiving should be one of the characteristics of doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because the Lord Jesus tells us to give thanks. And if we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, remember one of the first things is to do it according to His will. His will is to give thanks. Remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So if you do everything in Jesus' name, you're going to be giving thanks in everything. Because that's what He commands us. To do it in His name means to do it according to His will. And this thanksgiving, have you noticed this at the end of verse 15, 16, and 17? Each one of these verses ends with an exhortation to be thankful. Have you noticed that? Look at the end of verse 15. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." You know, I look at this and I say, wow, every single verse ends with thanksgiving. So what do we learn from this, beloved? We learn that we must be a thankful people. It is Christ's will for us to be people that overflow in giving thanks. So that if you are more bent on grumbling or being bad-tempered or being discontent, then you should stop and be thankful. Because thankfulness is one of those key attributes of being obedient to the Lord Jesus. Are you a thankful person today? Have you given thanks to God for your spouse, your wife, or your husband? Have you given thanks to God for your children? Do you thank God for your job, even though it may have hardships and challenges on? Do you give thanks to God for whatever health you may have? Be a thankful person. This delights the Father. This gives glory to Christ. This is how we live also. In Jesus' name. And one of the great blessings of knowing our sinfulness is to know that once we have received forgiveness through the blood of Christ, you will never, never in your life be without something to give thanks to God for. I don't care how miserable your life can be, you can always give thanks to God for your salvation, for the forgiveness through Christ Jesus. So what has Paul told us in verse 17? He's given us an incredibly simple and profound principle of life to be the banner under which we live every single day of our life. So that we are to make the name of Jesus the great sieve by which we filter all of our thoughts and all of our deeds. Am I doing this because it's according to His will? Am I doing this because I am in spiritual union with Christ and I reflect Christ and I'm His representative on earth? Am I doing this in such a way that I ultimately bring glory to Him and I ultimately am doing this because my heart's desire is to see Him glorified and I'm doing it by His power? This is what is involved when it means to do all that you do in Jesus' name. Let the aroma of Christ permeate us. Let the glory of Christ fill our hearts and our minds so that everything we do, we make it our ambition to be pleasing to Him. And this one text of Scripture, if you memorize it and if you meditate on it and if you recall it to mind throughout your day, it will guide you and bless you in everything you do throughout the day because of its simplicity and its power and its great profound teaching that Christ has given to us. Well, seek the mind of Christ. Seek to do everything in His name for His glory. And while we do this with a thankful heart, Christ will be uplifted and exalted, and the people will seek Christ in us for His glory and His honor. Well, may the Lord help us to remember these things. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, as we have reflected upon this incredible verse, to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I just feel like I just need to ask your forgiveness because of so often when I'm not thinking about the name of Christ or His will or His glory. But Lord, I'm doing things out of my own selfish motives and reasons. But Father, we pray that you would help lift us higher, Lord. Help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us to draw near frequently throughout the day, asking ourselves, am I doing this in the name of Christ? Am I doing this trusting in His power and hoping that Christ will receive the praise and the glory? Or am I doing it for me? And then guide us, Lord, and empower us that our lives might be more focused upon You, Lord, and less upon us. Oh, Father, help us. You know how weak we are. You know how prone we are to being self-centered rather than Christ-centered. And Lord, just help us and give us the grace that we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, to look at our lives, even in its detail, and desire to honor You, Lord, in all of this. Not just do it because we want to, but do it because I think my Lord would be pleased with this, because we're here to glorify You. So, Lord, in whatever we do, whether in word or in deed, help us, Lord, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Him. And as we do this, Father, we'll give You the glory because it all ultimately comes from You. We pray this in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen.